This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Sunday, December 1st, 2024, the first Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Your redemption is at hand. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength, and our redeeming that of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Your redemption is at hand. We have been redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. We are being redeemed at this very moment in this Mass. We will be redeemed to the uttermost when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back in judgment. This whole already not yet motif, your redemption is at hand. We enter into the Catholic New Year today, the first Sunday in Advent. Advent is unfortunately very, very misunderstood by many, even in the church today, much less by the world. It is not Christmas time. Radio stations, constant Christmas music. It's not Christmas. Oh, it's purple today. That's a Christmassy. It's not Christmas. It's a time of penitential reflection. It is a time of anticipation. It's not as up in your face as Lent, but it is indeed a penitential season. It's a time of reflection and introspection. It's not celebratory. We had a seminarian one time. He was here during Advent. He said, man, you really harp on the whole penitential thing. I've always been told it was a time of joyful anticipation. Well, if it was supposed to be a time of joyful anticipation, the liturgical color would be white because that's the color of joy. It's not. It's purple. And it's not because it's Christmas. Christmas starts at the midnight Mass on December 25th. So, with that being said, you know, we see some different things in there. You don't see flowers in the church during Advent. You don't hear the organ as much as you do normally. You don't hear the Gloria read during the Mass. Why? It's because it's Advent. It's not Christmas. Whole 12 days of Christmas. You know the hymn? You know, 12 days of Christmas. Almost 2 weeks we have Christmas time. It's not now. So we need to approach this whole thing by an understanding. It is the reflection on this past, present, and future aspect of our redemption. You see that in the readings today. In the first reading from Jeremiah, I will perform a good work that I have spoken, and this is the name that thou shalt call him, the Lord, the Just One. If you know anything about the Bible, it's unmistakable that that's speaking about the incarnation. Now, when those people heard that back in the day, that was something in the future for them. It's not future for us. It's past. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He did endure his passion. He did rise again from the dead, ascend into heaven. He has done these things. It is past for us. This is the past aspect of what is going on in Advent. Because why? We look forward to the Christmas season when we celebrate festively for days and days and days the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He's done that. It is past history for us. We glory in it because it is what gets us into heaven. But it is, from our perspective, a past event. So, we got to bring this into the present. Us. What do we do about it? You know, if we look back and we look forward to his coming in judgment, okay, we'll just sit there passively with our, you know, sitting on our hands and waiting for him to come back. No. The second reading today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, St. Paul says, you know what precepts I have given you by the Lord Jesus, the rules by which we live. We have a part in this. We have an active anticipation in this. Well, St. Paul was kind of a hard case. Well, all St. Paul says is, I have given you precepts from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself says in the gospel today, I know we're all paying attention, take heed to yourself, lest perhaps your hearts be overcharged with excess and drunkenness. I got to go down the trail on that old thing we always saying before about Advent versus Christmas. For the next 4 weeks before Christmas, you're going to hear all about, oh, this person's having a Christmas party. This person's having a Christmas party. How can you have a Christmas party if it's not Christmas yet? They're Advent parties. And that sounds kind of weird. Because I just said, Advent is a penitential season, and yeah, it's a party. I am not being Mr. Stick. Well, maybe I am being Mr. Stick in the Mud and say, you should be careful during this season. I'm not telling you not to go to parties. I'm telling you to be penitential. Maybe you don't go to all of them to which you are invited. Maybe that. And when you do go to a party when you go to one of your Advent parties, when you do this, you should maybe for lunch have a salad with no dressing on it, or maybe skip lunch, because you're letting our Lord know, hey, I'm going to an Advent party tonight, because call it what it is. I'm going to an Advent party tonight, but I understand that it is a reflective penitential season, and I am going to go to a party and enjoy myself. But be careful with the excess thing. Be very careful with the drunkenness thing. I mean, our Lord puts us on notice with that whole deal. Generally, when you think of a Christmas party, what's usually the excess and drunkenness? Excess and drunkenness during Advent parties. Kind of weird. Advent is probably the only penitential season that we have where fasting, abstinence, and things like that. We have a 4-week penitential season where most Catholics will weigh a few pounds more after the penitential season than they do when they entered it. That's problematic. We need to have our heads on straight when it comes to Advent. This is that present tense part, because we're looking to something future. Why are we doing all this reflection? Because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming in judgment. We talk about it in our creed every time we come to Mass, every time you say a rosary, and do the Apostles' Creed, that he will come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. That's a reality. Just as really as he was born in Bethlehem, historical fact, so it is a real objective fact that he is going to come again in judgment. This is what we need to prepare ourselves for. This is why we adhere to the precepts that St. Paul gave us, that he learned from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why our Lord tells us, be careful of the excess stuff. When you're excessive with things, no matter what they may be, you're not going to be properly prepared, because you're not showing a detachment from things in this world. And this is what our Catholic life is a detachment from things in this world. I mean, you sell everything you got and everything. You just put it in a proper priorities and proper perspective, because our redemption is at hand. This is that future tense part of Advent. So Advent, everyone, is a anticipation of celebrating a past event, engaging in that event in the present, and then doing that because we understand that our Lord is coming in the future, and we don't know when that may be. So this is this whole Advent thing. And this is for everybody. It doesn't matter what religion you are, or if you're not religious, or our Lord makes it very, very explicit. As a snare shall it come upon all that sit upon the face of the whole earth. Judgment by Jesus Christ. Well, I don't believe that Jesus is the Redeemer. I don't believe he's the Son of God. It doesn't matter what you believe. Let's just leave it for what he says. And it's going to be for everyone. This is the reality of things. Why do we know there's God? Because he's revealed himself to us. And he reveals what he's going to do. I don't believe that. Okay, don't believe what God has said. You'll be answered for that. And everybody will. This is just, again, this is objective reality. Our faith is something real. It's not philosophical. I'm always saying that. It's not about a bunch of proposition. It's about listening to what Jesus says and then engaging in that. This is what we do. It's what we do every time we come to Mass. It doesn't matter if it's Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter time, whatever time of the liturgical year. Every single time we come to Mass, we should recall the reflections of Advent. Because at every single Mass, Advent is occurring. Every single Mass, no matter what part, again, the liturgical year, no matter what's going on, every single Mass, there is an element of Christmas and there is an element of Easter in every single Mass. We should be very attentive to the prayers and the liturgy and listen to what's going on and engage with what's going on, to look into things. Why do we do the things we do? I just go and look, I just go and I just deal with it. That's not a fervent and devout way to approach your faith. If you approach your faith in trying to ever increase your understanding, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as He presents Himself in the liturgy, if we do this, we will start to see how every time we come to Mass, we live those seasons of the year. We do it presently. So it's just not presently in Advent. It's presently every time we come together for worship. We do this because our redemption is at hand, and we don't know when that's going to be, and we should prepare ourselves. These quiet weeks of Advent, and that's what they are. Again, it's not like it's not up in your face like Lent, but it is a quiet, reflective, penitential time in which we reflect. Because as the seminarians say, it is a time of joyful anticipation if you're in a state of grace. If you are practicing your faith the way you should, if you are properly disposed to your relationship with the Lord, then it is a time of joyful anticipation, because even judgment is joyful when you're being judged by the one whom you serve well. We should not be scared of the judgment. Listen to the preface today, that we may not be ashamed or fearful at His appearing. We do that by keeping ourselves in a state of grace. So, in this quiet time of Advent, are we in a state of grace? Again, if you are, it is a joyful anticipation. I can name you some names. I won't. I could name you some names that around here that should be the opposite of joyful anticipation. It should be an anticipation of trepidation, because they're not in a state of grace. They're in a state of unrepentant mortal sin, and for whatever reason, they're not going to fix that. Yeah, you should be scared to death of judgment. So it's up to you as to how this anticipation plays out. But the anticipation is manifest in every single Mass that we go to, no matter what the liturgical season. What do we get? Well, how does the Mass reflect Advent every time? This way. The mystery surrounding the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Annunciation. Break down the Annunciation. What's going on? You have a message from heaven that tells the Blessed Virgin Mary that redemption is at hand. How can this be? I don't have a husband. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that which is formed in your womb will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. He will save His people from their sins. Be it unto me according to thy word. And then the journey starts. Hey, the Messiah is coming. There he is, Mary. Be his mom. No. Mary, you're going to have a baby and you're not married. So she's got this going on in the back of her mind. That's got to be a heavy weight. Hey, they could stone me to death or set me on fire, which were the two capital punishments he did when somebody got pregnant out of wedlock. Yeah, they could stone me or set me on fire. You got St. Joseph meditating as to whether or not he's going to divorce her, okay, because she's pregnant. All this stuff's going on. And then it all gets worked through. But then there's the actual literal journey to Bethlehem. I mean, the girl is 9 months pregnant. And I say girl, she's not a woman. She's in her mid-teens, and she's pregnant, got all this other stuff going on, and now she got a journey all the way to Bethlehem. And then they get there, no room at the inn, all the Christmas story part of it. Arduous, not easy in any way, shape, or form. But then he's born in Bethlehem, and our redemption is at hand. At hand. Not yet, because what does he have to do? He's got to live his journey in this life. Earthly ministry, scourging, spat upon, crowned with thorns, crucified, died in the ground for 3 days, and then ascended into heaven. And after he ascends into heaven, our redemption is at hand, in a way, already, but not yet, because he's going to come back as judge. So, you know, even the Blessed Mother, she goes in this mystery of the Annunciation, she's dealing with all this stuff. We, in an objective presentation, presentation, reflection doesn't do it justice because it's as real for us as it was for her. Because the way I just described the Annunciation, think about what the Mass is. You should do this occasionally, I said regularly. What goes on at Mass? You know, I said, in the Annunciation, she gets a message from heaven about what's going to happen, about her redemption being at hand. Every single time we come to Mass, what are we doing right now? The Liturgy of the Word. That's a message from heaven. Words revealed to us by Almighty God Himself, not a book written by a bunch of guys around a fireplace 3,000 years ago. The revelation of God Almighty Himself telling us that our redemption is at hand, just like in the Annunciation. It's presented to us. The Blessed Mother. How is this going to be? Us. I don't quite get this. I don't get that. I don't get that. Okay, you're not going to get it. The Blessed. Do you think the Blessed Virgin? Oh, okay, I get it now, St. Gabriel. No, absolutely not. She didn't quite get it, but she acquiesced out of her faith to what the angel told her. We should acquiesce out of our faith to what God reveals to us in Scripture. This is why it's so imperative to know the Word of God, not just what you hear read from the lectionary, but every Word of God that's in there. Because, unfortunately, there's a lot of words of God that you don't hear read from the lectionary. When you know these things start coming together, and you deepen your faith, and then you're ready for that arduous journey that our Blessed Mother went on. Those initial problems and then the journey itself, that's what we do. The Mass prepares us for that journey. How is this going to be? I don't get it. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which will be formed in your womb will be called the Son of God. He will save His people from their sins. What happens to us at Mass? We hear the Liturgy of the Word, the Annunciation, so to speak, and then I don't quite get it. And then the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And the Holy Spirit came down and overshadowed the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our Lord Jesus Christ was formed in her womb, miraculously. What happens on our altars at the consecration? The Holy Spirit comes down from heaven, hovers over the offertory, the oblations, and turns bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God. The same flesh and blood that was in the Blessed Mother's womb is the same flesh and blood that comes on our altar. This is the manifestation that we see in the reality of Advent every single time we come to Mass. And this should really overwhelm us. It should really overwhelm us, because if you are properly disposed, I cannot emphasize that enough, if you are properly disposed, and if you are fervently and devoutly being attentive and prayerful at Mass, and you assent to the things that you don't understand, if that happens, what the Blessed Virgin Mary was is what you become. A sanctuary of the Most High God. If I use the word heaven, what's heaven? That's where God lives, right? Everybody gets out. It's pretty simple. You know, the little two-year-olds understand. What's heaven? Where God lives. Kind of interesting to think that for 9 months, the Blessed Virgin Mary was heaven on this earth. Is she not the vessel in which God lived for 9 months? She's heaven. She is a sanctuary of the Most High God. If you are properly disposed to receive the sacrament, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and formed our Lord in her womb. He overshadows the bread and wine, and then you receive it at the hands of the one who acts in persona Christi, the priest, and you. This is why it's so necessary to be properly disposed, because you presume to become a sanctuary of the Most High God when you receive communion. This is why it's so sad to hear about all those Catholics who don't believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is, they just eat a piece of bread and drink some wine maybe, depending on how they do their thing there. When you receive the Blessed Sacrament, properly disposed, devoutly, then you too, just like, exactly like the Blessed Virgin Mary, become in communion, in a literal sense, in unity with God Almighty Himself. You become a sanctuary of the Most High God. This is why it is so necessary to be properly disposed. So we see this, and this is our life. It's preparing us for our life because we have the annunciation of this truth that our redemption is near at hand. We have the fulfillment of that in, for us, the sacrament of the altar, and then we are prepared for the second coming of our Lord. This is that past, present, and future. Think about it. We need to worry about the present part of it. I'm not negating the importance of the past and the future parts, but we don't have any control over that. The past is a historical event. It just is what it is. The judgment, we don't know when it's going to come. We got all kind of control over the present, and this is what we have to do. So when you look at the Mass, it is so important. It's not just, okay, here's where the priest does it. Okay. Think about what's going on. A priest named Father Rauer, he wrote a book of meditations on the traditional Mass. And in the one for First Advent, he's emphasizing this whole, the Annunciation is going on at Mass. The Holy Spirit comes out and over and brings God into our very midst. Father Bauer says, I quote, "Blessed is the moment when in the Mass the priest bends low over the host and falling on his knees adores the fruit of his priestly words. At that moment, both the priest and the altar become sanctuaries of the Most High." Oh, that sounds really clerical. Yeah, it does, because we're Catholics. It's a clerical system. But what it says there about clericalism, they become a sanctuary of the Most High God. So do you. So do you. As a result of that, you become a sanctuary of the Most High God. It is the fulfillment. It's the realization that you are in the most tremendous way in communion. That word is so misunderstood now. Communion. Oh, that's a time when everybody comes up and receives it. No, it's not. It's a time when you as an individual come up, and if you're properly disposed, you receive divinity within yourself. That's what this is all about. You are experiencing in a direct reflection the Annunciation. The Blessed Virgin Mary is united to Christ in communion. When the Lord was formed in our Blessed Mother's womb, that was the pinnacle manifestation of communion. She became one with our Lord Jesus Christ and He with her. Every time we receive communion, the same thing happens to us. We receive the same graces if we are properly disposed. This should overwhelm us. And this is that part of reflection I'm talking about in Advent. It's Advent, first Advent. So we kind of focus on this today, but we should maybe not focus on it every time to the complete nature in which we focus on it today, but every time we come to understand in the back of our minds that that's what's going on, that it is that important. That's why we're always harping on being properly disposed, the necessity of confession, the necessity of being a Catholic. It is a necessity because we want to embrace the gospel promises that we receive, that promise that our redemption is fulfilled. Jesus did fulfill our redemption on Calvary. He fulfills our redemption every time we come to Mass, and He will ultimately fulfill it at the final judgment. And we receive the same gifts that the Blessed Virgin Mary did. We put away the works of darkness, like the first prayer, one of the first prayers we read today, put off the works of darkness and put on the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. This is what we do. We come in here, we do a confession before we even begin to celebrate Mass. Then before we receive, we do another confession. And when we do this, we're putting off the works of darkness. And when we bring God into our very beings, we are putting on the armor of light to prepare us for the journey that we're going to have week to week to week to week. This is what this is all about. So like the Blessed Virgin Mary, you become a sanctuary of the living God. What the Blessed Mother had going for her was she was immaculately conceived, but then she didn't have to worry about it. She had to maintain that through her whole life. That's why she's so special, because she did it. We, on the other hand, have a problem with it. This is why we need this every week, or I would say every time you come to Mass, which for some of you is daily, and that's a good thing. This is the reality of the reflections that we should have during Advent, that it's not just because it's every Advent that the Lord blesses you to experience, every Mass that the Lord blesses you to experience is another step in this journey toward our final judgment. We need to heed the words of the gospel. Your redemption is at hand. We need to be cognizant of that. We need to lift up our heads and look for this in every Mass, but then ultimately when he's going to come back, because these are the words. I'll leave you with the words of our Lord. Lift up your heads, because redemption is at hand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.